RadioIslam.com.
Allah is asking Musa alayhi salam, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Then talk to him in the nicest possible manner. Where is that punch which need to go on the nose of Pharaoh here? Perhaps لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ يَخْشَى. Maybe he will understand, or maybe his heart will feel fear of the Creator. Either way, maybe. So purposefulness of that message is defined even when a very unjust taghut is being asked to be addressed. There was already a major gap and a problem in perception of West about Islam and perception of Muslims of the West, already in existence. And it's not just limited to Muslims and America. Actually, that gap is quite visible and known when you see just few weeks before 9/11, America and Israel being the only two countries walking out in South Africa from the race conference organized by the United Nations. That isolation has many manifestations, but at this moment after 9/11 it has taken a shape. So it is not the world and America, but Muslims and America, which is not totally incorrect, because Muslims are part of the world in that sense. Whether you pick up the vocabulary of Huntington's Clash of Civilization, or Fukuyama writing his article in Wall Street Journal about that I was right about my thesis of the end of history, or President Bush phrase, so why do they hate us, or media's misguided tour of certain parts in the Quran, or Bin Laden's rhetoric of them against us, or at least Prime Minister declaring and then backing off, our civilization is better than the Islamic one, all point towards one thing, and that is the widening gap between the world and America. Now, search for answers is on. Is it inherently something the first Christian I met after 9/11 in the Council of the World Parliament of Religion, extraordinary nice person? Is there inherently something with Islam, or these are certain type of people? So many are looking into scripture and Quran to find answers. Some, while fighting terrorism, not Islam of course, are looking for a profile, so the file could be handled properly, so the world could be safe. What type of Muslim may be doing it? Is it Wahhabi? Is it Salafi? Or is it the political Islam? And for all categories, one article in New York Times was about Tablighis as well. The search for right Islam and right type of Muslim is also part of that thing. Right Islam and good Muslim. Of course, there are many voices among Muslims who are trying to provide the right Islam. And I can understand the pressure, but I have seen people with such amazing statements that there is not a single verse in the Quran which talks of jihad in terms of fighting or war. And I say, is this the same person who walked out of the stage because he doesn't believe in the US Constitution, or is it a different person? The pressure is understandable. So there is an effort to come up with a version and a type of Muslim which will go well. It was about 6 years ago that French foreign minister coined the term a French Muslim. I particularly do not have a problem in seeing people in reference to where they come from or their ethnic background, but that definition has certain meaning, and that meaning still continues to be discussed. And then I landed on my desk with a book about written by and born and raised, I would say born and bred in America, says American Muslim. Now, in this chaos of, on one side, curiosity about Islam, on the other side, reinterpretation and representation and repackaging of Islam, some older conflicts in a new way are coming up. The conflict about whether there is a division of Islam as a religion and politics, so secular Islam versus political Islam. But the gap is more visible in two of the most controversial topics in reference to Islam. One, of course, has to be jihad, and another has to be the poor, oppressed woman which Muslim control. And amazingly, 20 years ago, when I came in this country, word jihad, mujahid, which I failed to trademark, as you know, was used in a very positive sense. The whole of Afghanistan was good guys. Hijab was no problem. Beard man looks, guy looks so cute. And they were everywhere on television. Everything about jihad, mujahid, mujahideen, and everything was positive. Go for it. It was not just one. Foreign policy, television, newspapers, it was all over. I thought that was an excellent opportunity to bring what jihad means to the world. It was first time in the nation in which jihad was used in a positive sense because of the alignment of the US foreign policy and what Afghans were aspired for. At that time, no woman was oppressed there. All were highly educated, probably 100% of literacy among women, not among men probably because they were too busy doing jihad for America. But now, you see, everything has turned around. But issues still are the same. Jihad and women. What Taliban are doing and what everybody else is doing. So questions which are abound for Muslims are, should Muslims be well-behaved, nice people, flag-waving? Of course, you can have beard and hijab if you like, and remain satisfied as a first-class, quote-unquote, citizen of the society? Or should they be critical, contributing partners in trying to change the worldview? What type of options will they have? Should America be left thinking and blind towards how world sees America? Or should we become the corrective glasses through which America sees the world? The thesis of the end of civilization which Fukuyama offers is that civilization has achieved a level, and this is the highest level, civilization, end of history thesis which he has. I wish Gandhi was alive when he was asked what you think of the Western civilization, and he asked, it's an excellent idea. I think he must be profiled, although hardly anybody will fit his profile in America with the dress and everything. So, or should there be a worldview while everyone is looking for a worldview and searching for it? Should there be a worldview in which civilization also moves forward instead of considering its end of history? A civilization in which people take some basic human values and don't limit to their own group, be it defined as a nation or as a people or ethnic group, but willing to share for the whole humanity. If freedom is good for America, it ought to be good for each and every human being. If freedom is good for a particular people to have self-determination how they would like to live their life, that self-determination must be available to each and every human being. A very small thing. It is in the Hadith and in almost all universal religious traditions you can find, like for your brother what you like for yourself. Of course, it's a sexist phrase, but I hope you will not mind me using it. If tobacco is bad for America, it ought to be bad for everybody else. Why hardly anybody can smoke now except being considered untouchable outside the hotel or the hospital room? You will be thinking probably tobacco industry in America is about to be bankrupt. But I keep hearing they just awarded billions there and billion in that court and billion in that court. Do you know they have declared the largest number of profits in the last 5 years in the American history of tobacco industry? How? Because tobacco which is bad for us, is good for Africa and good for Asia. Our Commerce Department and all of them are going to facilitate the selling of that. So can there be a civilization in which some basic human values are extended beyond national and geographical boundaries? That's the question. And that civilization and that worldview cannot be a worldview which is limited to a people. Because the peace and justice which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to establish, prayed for it day and night, and alhamdulillah did establish. In that definition of neighbor, there is not a single hadith who say neighbor is the one who is Muslim or follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Peace and justice is for all, in all interpretation and all the understanding of that concept. Now that is in terms of the world. But questions are abound. We have discussed several questions in the morning sessions, in which becomes the type of people within among ourselves. In terms of practice, in terms of background, in terms of challenges. One brother in the discussion we were talking, and he says that one thing which he hears, I support Palestine cause, and I am in support of all the Muslim causes in the world. And I am willing to stand by that cause as well. But when
Tell me what time and until what date should I wait? When you understand that why the average age of an African American in this country is the same age as a male in Pakistan. 30-year differential between what a Caucasian American or Caucasian woman will live or African American male will live in this society. Do you ever wonder that Amnesty International, who always focuses on some third world countries, quote unquote, declared year 2000 to be campaign USA, although many people doubt how much independence and free thinking Amnesty International allows itself, but with due respect, they did focus in that way. Why, we have the largest population of human beings put in prison. How many of us are equipped to talk to people who suffer in this society? How many emails have you received which were not asking to stand up for a Muslim cause or a Muslim brother who is in prison, but just a person, just as a human being? How many of you will stand up for Rodney King? I would say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have stood up for him, because peace and justice. So there are two arenas of question. One set of question is coming from the debate and clash of the civilization and thesis of the end of history, and other question is coming from the side of when we'll begin our history in this country, when we will have the processes in place which bring people not based just on faith. You see, faith we have. Faith is what motivates us. Faith is which has brought these beautiful people spending their money to come and think for the sake of Allah's deen. But person who is motivated by this, somebody knocked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's door and he asked everybody in Makkah that this guy is not returning my money. Can anybody help me get that money? Everyone say, no, we cannot. Abu Jahl, you know, who wants to deal with him? And somebody finally said, I wonder if he whispered, that why don't you go, there is a guy named Muhammad. He will get your money from Abu Jahl. Did he ask, what faith do you have? Did he present a brochure with his burger? Did he... And he didn't say whether I have means available or not. He went, he knocked the door of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl came out, gave his money. His money was given. The agenda of prophets, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses says, is وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا لَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لَيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that people establish justice. That's Prophet's message, not their duty. All the tools they had, Al-Bayyinat, Al-Kitab, Al-Mizan, all three tools are being used, not that they establish justice, but لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ. So the people establish justice. So the agenda of justice transcends international, national agendas. So while you wonder all the major questions which media is putting forth, as a thinking people who submit themselves on the floor like nobody else in the world does, talking to their Lord, need to ask our own questions. Now, opportunities and challenges are many. The question is that, are we willing to accept those challenges? And are we willing to develop resources to deal with these challenges? I consider this to be a defining moment. Maybe I am right, or like most of us human beings, almost all of us, actually all of us who have no knowledge of the future may be wrong. But while we are at it, I consider it to be a defining moment. Muslim as a structurally weak community were moving fast and becoming a challenge for many people. And they were worried. Remember how September started. Something very symbolic. A kid sitting somewhere in the West Coast met with Amina Silmi, and they started that campaign about Eid Mubarak, which a Muslim calligrapher, Brother Muhammad Zakaria, wrote. A very symbolic thing, small thing, not a huge lot of significance. And how the things started turning around. There were small success here, little bit there, and we were worried how Muslims are going to handle these things, including whatever was done during the election period. So a structurally weak community had quite a bit coming on its shoulders. And now that we are facing the challenge from many sides, thing is how we are going to handle that. I think Muslims are positioned and we are being asked about our worldview. That worldview can be confused. There are many people who are well-wishers of Islam in the media, since they are the one essentially writing about Islam. They are defining it in a way which you may or may not agree. You may say, oh, a nice try, but let me do it in a different way. And that phenomena itself is one of the challenges. But while our worldview is being discussed, that worldview need to be crafted. This is a major challenge. So it is re-established on the proper foundations as prophets were sent down to re-establish. How will it be articulated? Now, this is not the only task. But before I go to the set of tasks, one is the positions which Muslims have in North America. Maybe we chose it or we did not choose it, but we live in a country which is in the unipolar world, is the leading country of the dominant Western civilization. And due to the art and technology of communication, the reach of this civilization is not like reach of any empire which we know in human history. It penetrates right in the heart and household of each and every person. Past civilization, their reach will be limited to cities in different matters. With that overwhelming penetration, the options and the choices that civilization presents to people throughout the world are crafted in terms of ideals and images right here. Second thing about Muslim community is that probably it is one of the most culturally diverse community of Muslims anywhere in the world. Of course, it is one of the most educated and professional community of Muslims anywhere in the world as well. Most likely. And here are we, part of the Muslim Ummah, and that Muslim Ummah is more baffled by what is going on with them. The whole symptoms of frustration and anger, which looks for different manifestation, right or wrong, is a different thing. That phenomena is clinically connected with the acute helplessness which people feel. And that helplessness has different dimension. Two major aspects of it. One, that democracy, which is good for America, is not good for Algeria or Turkey or Pakistan or many of these countries.
So self-determination and open freedom to choose how people like to live has to be sacrificed for the national interest of those who define the civilization today, unfortunately. So those Muslims consider, rightfully or wrongfully, you, my dear brothers and sisters, to be their strategic assets in terms of articulating the worldview, defining that worldview, writing about that worldview, and providing them at below caste level. This is one thing which the global village, in which English is the main language and the culture, is dictating. So your material, legally or illegally, could be found throughout the Muslim world wherever people use English as a medium of communication. And the last strategic position which I consider Muslims in North America have is that being here, America, which deals with the world for its perspective and its agenda and its program, who defines Islam and Muslim for them? I wish Amina McLeod and more of her, cloning is coming, sister, will define Islam for America. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So all sort of other people are the experts of Islam, not only at the universities, colleges, and of course at the State Department and the Defense Department and everywhere. So Muslims in this country are potentially strategic assets for America if America is looking for peace and justice. We can provide the balance which may finally bring peace to America in reference to the Muslim world. Now, all of this task, I would say, is somewhere I heard, is an awesome task. It's a major thing. Can Muslim in North America handle this challenge? If I look at people, what they are capable in their individual capacity, believe me, brothers and sisters, I have no doubt whatsoever that Muslims in this country are capable of meeting these challenges. But when I see how we organize our resources to meet these challenges, then I see ourselves that we have a long way to go. It will require to reorganize our communities. Reorganize our communities. There's a lot in that small phrase. To provide intellectual foundation to this community, who relies on the translations from different languages to nourish its children. To develop our thinking mechanism. Have you ever wondered the 6 million, or if you are in a happy mode with more drinks of coffee, 10 million Muslims in North America, who thinks for us? Who is leading us? If we can develop our thinking mechanism, that will be a prerequisite for individually capable people to be able to collectively handle those challenges which are out there. And then to develop our new implementation modules and to develop sustainable fiscal models of meeting those challenges. Now, search for answer, of course, I am not, you know, I don't want to overwhelm you, although I am overwhelmed with my own thought processes. And I often find myself pretty isolated because there is no thinking mechanism available. There are no platforms, places where you can share these things in a thoughtful manner and be open to be challenged to the basic roots of your assumptions. That need to be developed. But I certainly think that if DAONet cannot handle the totality of the challenge, it can certainly, in the area which it has defined itself with the name DAONet, can handle that challenge of capitalizing on individual resources by organizing our collective response in a way that it can deliver for Muslim Ummah. And people are looking. I am not one of those who thinks people have closed minds. The LA Times reporter called and they ask you to be at the airport 2 hours ahead of time, so I was doing my time at the airport. So I say, what you're looking for? So I want to know how much copies of the Quran Sound Vision have sold in last few months. Now here is one disqualified president who didn't know how many copies of the Quran we have sold. So I said, okay, I'll call you back. I'm busy at this moment. And the first thing I did, I called Sound Vision. And the number is that from September 15th to December 31st, year 2000, compared with year 2001, the first year we sold in the same period 250 copies of the Quran, and last year in the same period we sold 2,832 copies of the Quran. No, we are not standing on the street and people are figuring out, okay, let's have a free copy or whatever it is. People asking. Websites of Muslims, they report there are so much overwhelming amount of questions coming to the way of Muslims that most of them have no people available to respond to those questions. Question, which translation should I recommend? Which book is the best book? Do you have any book on jihad which can really do the job? No, I still have to write that, and many of you probably want to do the same. What book can really handle the issue in reference to Muslim women? You know, Muslim women are always a problem for us. Which book will be finally able to resolve this whole problem of Muslim women? And when can Muslim men stop writing about it? Who is developing an agenda of writing for Islam in this country? Who is providing resources for those Me Too writers to dedicate their time to research and write? And publishers are looking. One publisher who prints those books for idiots, you know, I don't consider those books for myself, haha. He approached a Muslim and asked him to write a book about, what is it called? Islam for the
Idiot Guide.
A complete idiot's guide, you know, not just idiots. Idiots, all of us are a little bit, except me. But complete idiot's guide for Islam. And he sold 80,000 copies already. Who is actually minding our publishing business? Think of the books and bookstores, including, unfortunately, Sound Visions. Whose book dominate there? And with what thought processes those books are written? I asked one of the leading publishers of books, whose books are everywhere in North America, full color covers, whether there is a taste or not is a different issue, and translation of somebody 700 years ago. I asked, how much you put in? He said, $30 million, that particular empire of publishing. Do you have a small publishing house? We used to have ATP a while ago. I have heard they folded the book and landed in Chicago. Inshallah, they'll print more now. So people are searching for answers, and I think opportunities and challenges could be met and opportunities could be exploited if we come up with a model of work which is different. If you want me to join an organization, my first reaction will be, give me a break. There are plenty of those around. It took me about 2 years of different brothers and sisters talking about, and I talking with them, discussing together, to come up with the basic what we are looking for. And we felt the organizational model itself has to be different than the organizational model which are dominant at this moment. And that's why you see the discussion about the terminology of network, the culture of network, the strengths and weaknesses which it has. And that's where you see, if you have seen the guiding principles of DavaNet, that it considers it has a new way of organizing. It is not a jama'a which requires a total commitment and closing an eye from anything else which is out there. But it recognizes the plurality of organizations among Muslims and want to work with them in a defined manner, developing partnerships, a peer-to-peer relationship with the memorandum of understanding, assisting existing organizations, not each and everything, but in the area of Dawah, not demanding exclusivity from its membership and allowing institutions to be spinned off. And that's what, if you see the guiding principles of DavaNet network, point number 1, 2, 3, 5, and 13 are all focused on that. Now, it has to be studied, developed further, and experience shared. Coming up with a network is not easy. Somebody commanding, I am the Mahdi, and having a number plate, I am Mahdi, and follow me. Either people will follow him or he will be moving for the rest, for a different world. But developing people's understanding takes time and resources. Similarly, ethnic divisions and not knowing each other properly. I avoid using the term racism, because racism requires a intent. Racism has very evil basis. What I see is people not being experienced with each other, don't know how to start. A very nice Italian landlord of sound vision showed up after 9/11, and I could see how much pain he is after all of thing and whatever is happening with Muslim. And he sat down and he didn't know where to start. Finally, he asked, "Hey, did you know any of those guys?" I said, "What?" First, I had this extraordinary anger. Tell this Italian guy, does he know any of those Chicago untouchables? But then I thought, you know, he's just trying to break ice. So it's easy to misunderstand each other, but ethnic divisions have created a major problem in the Muslim community in North America. Sometimes we discuss, sometimes, most of the time, we don't discuss and we don't recognize that. And I can give you many examples, but I'll give you just example of Imam Jamil al-Amin. Here's a person who was the chairperson of the Islamic Shura Council of North America, one of the fours. Here's a person who, among all the Muslim leadership, was the most known in North America outside the Muslim community, and whose books were in the hands of non-Muslims, probably the only leader at that level. Here is a person who was, I think, vice president of AMC, but at one time acting president of AMC, member of the Shura of ISNA. When they started bothering him there, I'll leave lot of detail in the middle. You can go always to imamjamil.com and read the background and all of the detail. At one time, they stopped him while he was driving, testing a car, and the car owner and the dealer were just sitting next to him. They said, "Well, you don't have insurance on this, you don't have this, you don't have this, we'll arrest you and we'll leave you. And if you are willing to serve," final compromise they offered, "if you're willing to serve 6 months, that's fine, we'll settle on that." He said, "Why do I have to serve 6 months for nothing?"
And he wanted a good attorney. And a good attorney was looking for $10,000, as all the good attorneys with due understanding to two of the nice friends of mine who are attorneys who are present here. You know, don't expect to forward me that type of bill anytime in the future. And he went off all of this organization and every place looking for $10,000 to deal with the law situation in Atlanta police. Corrupt police there. I mean, you know whatever goes on there. And he couldn't. And I just wonder, where then, what was his value for the community? What was his value for AMC? What was his value for ISNA? What was his value for Islamic Shura Council of North America? What was his value for all those people who loved him and respected him? Of course, not all blame is to any of those organizations I am mentioning, but there are a lot of little Imam Jamil who have similar experience, and like Imam Jamil, who will never ever do this. But I thank those people who utter these things, because they finally bring something to the table. Now, this is one organization of network, DawaNet, they thought about. It's a serious issue. How do you handle with this issue? Now, you can say in Canada, we don't have African Americans there. Of course, you have some African Canadians there, to be exactly right. But you have other ethnic groups there. I have seen the masjid of the Somalis and masjid of the Eritreans, their issues and challenges. You have Arab Muslims and all sort of, you know, the cultural challenge, which the organizational model is challenged by these. And so far there is no model which clearly handles this. Here is a serious attempt. On paper I haven't seen any other serious attempt. And this attempt says that, and this goes on. I mean, national organizations in Washington DC, for example, please don't quote me off like this outside, because it can create a problem if you're talking this openly about organization. Washington DC have tens of Muslim organizations who have offices there. And I started looking, I was surprised that all the survey, including Jim Zogby and our brother Bagby, says that there are about 23 or 25% Arab Muslims. But Washington DC offices, 95% are led and manned, not women, just manned, by Arab brothers who are well-meaning and praying people, nothing against them. Wallahi, don't take it as in a wrong sense. But then this causes a problem. What's the Imam Jamil's place? As long as he's the president, thank you very much, my brother. See you next time. Beyond that, there is no grounding of our representativeness. How DawaNet claims that it wants to handle with this? First thing, they recognize it as a problem. Second thing, they have dedicated point number 10, 13 and 14 focus just on this, that how do we handle this? This problem exists. They also realize that there are inherent advantages by Muslim immigrants and Muslim born and raised here and African American. There are three types of divide. There's immigrant community, there's second generation Muslims, and there are American Muslims who have new Muslims, let's call it that way. How do you work with this? Because if they work together, there's tremendous advantage. If they don't work with each other, there is a major problem because they are not building upon anything. Many organizations have given up. I have actually have read a thesis written on it by a scholar of Islam who used to be leader of one of the major organizations, that this is perfectly all right. There's nothing wrong about this. I will never, ever for a moment like to be part of a scenario in which we say these are the givens. It is good that people work in the separate ways. Of course, there is nothing wrong in the way people are working, except that they are not building upon anything. They are not developing anything. And it has gone to the extent that right in the city of Chicago, one masjid, one of the largest masjid, it has two schools working. One, and all those children are born in America, raised in Chicago. One, children of the Arab parent in the same building. This is the ethnic tolerance which we have, destroying our future by tolerating each other in this way. That there's children of Arab parent
schooled in English language in Chicago in the same building. At the same time, right at the same time, children of Pakistani and Indian parents being taught right here. So meaning that whatever our inability to work with each other, we are perpetuating for the future and corrupting and destroying it for that generation as well. Now what is the model here? First thing is that they must work with each other, those who are willing to do that. Second thing is to make the agenda focus in North America. Let's have the majority of the board always be among the two of the three groups, American born and raised or American Muslims, which by the way do constitute demographically a majority in this country. Third, even the main leadership of the president, although model here is the Shura-based, Shura-centered as compared to Amir-centered, is the president and the main offices must also rotate year by year. These are the structural things which they have adopted in the hope, and I am very happy to see in different places this thing has worked, although it's a very, very new model. Similarly, woman place. Woman place in Islam in North America, you don't need any book. And stop telling non-Muslims that everything is fine here, you non-Muslim mind your business and your woman. Not gonna work. Woman space in Islam in America is defined by that space which you have in masjid. And that space, don't tell anybody, I tried to get into that space once. Just to figure out what is that space. I would say it's small, it's narrow, it's crowded, it's noisy, and it's away. It's not involved, it's not participatory, it's not together, it's not deciding together, it's not implementing together. It's a designated spot, which I think space-wise is not larger than the spot designated for people who still smoke or not willing to quit. Dawanet recognizes that this been practiced in Houston, where his sister was the president of a unit. But it's a new organization with good desires. I have few other points, but in conclusion, what I can see here is that if it's another organization, I don't think I have a lot of hope. Just because the whole sense of another organization, it's not charming, there is not much appeal to it. But beginning with the assumption that there are other people who are involved in Dawah, especially after 9/11 when Dawah is being imposed upon us, by people who want to know about Islam, and well-meaning people, people who want to really figure it out. Recognizing that there are a lot of people doing it. Recognizing that masjids, although very busy in organizing the community, but they are willing to open up for the first time. I haven't seen that in Bosnia Task Force days or any crisis in America or outside America. Masjids were pretty much an island of isolation, especially immigrant masjids and sometimes the masjid led by African American communities as well. I have seen masjid realizing they need to open up and discuss. Those masjids are looking for resources. You want to distribute a copy of the Quran, even Sound Vision unfortunately has no copy of the Quran with translation which sells less than $8 or $9. If you're looking for a book to be given out, first those they don't exist. If they exist, there are $7-$8. And it becomes very difficult to handle that. So development of all this
literature which Sister Amna McLeod was talking about, whether these are 20 pages or these are 100 pages or so, at a rock bottom prices at the caste level. All the masses and everybody will be looking for these things and they'll be ordering by the tons. Similarly, who is thinking for Islam in North America? I know all good Muslim organizations are worried and they are thinking about it. I simply have difficulty agreeing that that thinking process is going to go anywhere, but individually they are thinking. But what about as far as Dawah is concerned, its challenges are concerned, the inherent link of social justice and Dawah is concerned, articulating another worldview is concerned, representing that worldview concern. Dawanet, I think, will have no problem if you work with other organizations and say, you are doing this, we are willing to learn that. For example, Islamic Speakers will have peer-to-peer relationship that level. In that city, this model is working. Somebody is already doing these things. We work with them. So if the network concept and flexibility, which involves giving people their space, so initiative is preserved instead of orders to march left, right and left, which will maybe a number of immigrant Muslims find comfortable, but lot of people born and raised here, they're born with questions, my brother. I got a couple of children raised here as well. Well, all of them raised here, but two of them born here. Born with questions. So left and right, you have to be doing that left and right with them. So that networking model, I see, it need to be defined and presented. So I see the welcome launch of Dawanet website. If you go I subscribe to a lot of Christian magazines and Christianity Today and this and that, have visited a lot of websites. Muslims never had an organized missionary system, probably will never have. But in terms of coordination and development of resources and assisting and networking, there's a lot of room. And website there is a good beginning. And I'm also glad that differentiation that between Islam 101, which is designed exclusively to focus on dealing and teaching and offering online courses to anyone who is looking to understand Islam, could be Muslim, non-Muslim, and Dawanet website, more focus in coordinating, understanding and dealing with the concepts, which are a lot of problematic concepts in dealing, and some of those problematic concepts are dealt with in the guiding outlines. My dear brothers and sisters, as you have recognized, I have not given you any opportunity to ask any questions. This is 4:15 when I am supposed to stop. You know, lot of people may share weakness with me that I have lot of good intentions. And one of that good intention was that I will have at least 30 minutes for question and answers. But I need to work on myself. I thank you very much for your attention. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin.
RadioIslam.com